Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Dasha Varsha Sahasrante Purushastu Sanatanaha Esham Aviratu Krishnam Shantena Shamayam Vucha Dasha Varsha Sahasrante Purushastu Sanatana Tesham Avirabhut Krishnam Shantena Shamayan Pucha Dasha Varsha Sahasrante Purushastu Sanatana Tesham Avirabhut Krishnam Shantena Shamayan Rucha Shamayan, mitigating, Bhuchan by his beauty. At the end of 10,000 years of severe austerities performed by the Kachetas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to reward their austerities, appeared before them in his very pleasing form. This appealed to the Kachetas and satisfied the labor of their austerities. Performing 10,000 years of severe austerities does not seem a happy endeavor. Yet the devotees, the serious students of spiritual life, undergo such austerities to attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, when the duration of life was very long, people could undergo severe austerities for thousands of years. It is said that Valmiki, the author of Ramayana, underwent meditational austerities for 60,000 years. The Supreme Personality of Godhead appreciated the austerities undergone by the Prachetas, and he finally appeared before them in a pleasing form. Thus they all became satisfied and forgot the austerities they underwent. In the material world, if one is successful after hard labor, he is very pleased. Similarly, the devotee forgets all his labors and austerities as soon as he contacts the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Dhruva Maharaj was only a 5-year-old boy, he underwent severe austerities by eating simply dry foliage, drinking only water and taking no food. In this way, after 6 months, he was able to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. When he saw the Lord, he forgot all his austerities and said, "Swami Kritartos, my dear Lord, of course, these austerities were performed in the Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Treta Yuga, but not in this age of Kali. In this Kali Yuga, one can attain the same results simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Because the people of this age are fallen, the Lord is kind enough to give them the easiest method. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra, one can attain the same results. However, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu points out, we are so unfortunate that we are not even attracted to chanting the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Dashavarsha sahasranti purushastu sanatana tesha avyabhut kvichram chantena sushamayam vachan. At the end of 10,000 years of severe austerities performed by the Prachetas, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to reward their austerities, appeared before them in this very pleasing form. This appealed to the Prachetas and satisfied the labor of their austerity. Adjective that describes the type of austerity the Prachetas were performing. The same as Krishtrena, same root, same word. The translation is difficult, painful, severe, troublesome. And it generally goes together with austerity. Prabhupada, when he describes austerity, he says it's accepting inconvenience to attain some higher purpose. And as he points out in the purport, even in the material world, people undergo austerities. It's not the exclusive activity of transcendentalists. Even in the material world, and then after one attains what he wants to achieve through these austerities, one actually becomes pleased and can forget these austerities. Not only that, one is prepared to undergo them again for the next time. Typical example Prabhupada gives is people who go to work. And the work is not next door. They have to take a car and go for 1 or 2 hours to be in the office on time, which in some cases means they get up when we get up for Mangal Arati, or even earlier. But instead of going to the temple and remembering the glories of the spiritual master and seeing the Lord, they sit in a car and then they go on the freeway. Prabhupada in Los Angeles, he heard about the freeway. And this freeway is a way, but it's not free. If you get on there, you become stuck as soon as you enter the freeway. And then you move inch by inch for 1 or 2 hours, and then you can get off the freeway and reach your office. And you do this every day, not just one way, you also have to go back. So you do it 2 times a day. Severe austerity. Sometimes your car is not air conditioned, if you're not so rich. Then you're sitting there in the summertime with the sun burning down on your car. Yogis, they also do something similar. They sit in this blazing sun, and if that was not enough, they surround themselves by some fires. So these types of austerities are there, and they're described as Krishtram or Krishtrena. In the Bhagavatam we have a few examples of personalities who underwent severe austerities. Prabhupada mentions here Rudra Maharaj. And another one is well known. He was not a devotee though. Hiranyakashipu. You want to hear the austerities he went through? It's quite amazing. Just listen. His austerities are described as Parama Daruna, supremely difficult. Nobody would be able to do that. So he went to a valley, and then he was standing on his toes, but not on all the toes, the 2 big toes, with his arms up and looking at the sky. And he did this for quite some time, so much so, and these are now the translations of Prabhupada of the verses. Because of Hiranyakashipu's severe austerities, fire came from his head. And this fire and its smoke spread throughout the sky, encompassing the upper and lower planets, which all became extremely hot. Because of the power of his severe austerities, all the rivers and oceans were agitated. The surface of the globe with its mountains and islands began trembling, and the stars and planets fell. All directions were ablaze. this is austerity. And some result. So we can see this type of austerity, although it generates a lot of power, if not applied properly, actually becomes useless and it's not pleasing to the Lord. Just the contrary, Brahma had to appease Hiranyakashipu, and later Nrisimhadev told Brahma, don't do this again. Austerities have this phenomena, they generate power. Now the question is, here it says that Krishna became pleased and he favored the Prachetas when they were undergoing these austerities. Now the question is this, do we have to undergo austerity? Are we supposed to undergo austerity or not? As Prabhupada points out, these austerities were performed in Satya Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, and Treta Yuga. So not in this age of Kali. It's not possible even think of undergoing some kind of austerity as Dhruva Maharaj or the Prachetas. So as Prabhupada says, in Kali Yuga, the same result can be attained simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And as we know, maybe even from personal experience, just to do that regularly is an austerity. Especially in the beginning. It should not go on and on and on. That's not a good sign. If after 10, 20, or 30, or 40 years, when we think of chanting the holy name 16 rounds, our mind goes, oh no, again. So, but as Prabhupada, he quotes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is actually our situation, unfortunately. Durdaivam idrisham ihajani nanuraga. There's durdaiva. This word dur, like dushkritina, or duratma, durdaiva, means similar to Krishna, something difficult or painful. So daiva is the destiny. Durdaiva, by bad destiny, by our reactions of our sinful activities, we don't feel any attraction. Nanuraga. We are so unfortunate. We are not even attracted to chanting the Mahamantra. So then it becomes an austerity. If we have accepted the vow to chant 16 rounds at minimum, and then even that becomes difficult, then it means durdaivam vihajani nanuraga raghava. We are unfortunate. It should be the other way around, that the chanting becomes so attractive because it's Krishna that we cannot stop. That one has the inclination, the desire to chant 24 hours. Or as Rupa Goswami points out, one tongue is not enough. Two ears are not enough. There's a desire to have millions of tongues and millions of ears to be able to relish the nectar. But durdaivam, we are so unfortunate that we have a hard time to come to this point of relishing the chanting of the holy name. Nevertheless, if we follow the process and accept austerities voluntarily, then there's hope that this will happen. Because just chanting only is not sufficient. That we should understand. Therefore, Prabhupada also required a little more of austerity. Four regulated principles are also, that's our austerity in Kali Yuga. And I think I have a quote here that Prabhupada speaks about this. He speaks about austerity when he speaks about King Malayadvaja. Same canto, same a few chapters earlier. This king also, he went to the forest and to undergo austerity. And Prabhupada says, in this age, this is very difficult, to leave home, go to the forest or the Himalaya, to adopt the process of austerity. Indeed, this is almost impossible. And then he says, if one is even advised to give up meat eating, drinking, gambling, and illicit sex, one will fail to do so. So what to speak of going to the Himalaya? So that's the experience that Prabhupada had with his followers, that even these four things to follow strictly, very difficult. It becomes a challenge. But at the same time, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Yesham Tvanta Katam Papa, this is the prerequisite to be able to engage in devotional service properly. Svajante Mandrita Vratava. To be able to actually perform devotional service, one has to become free from these unwanted activities, and that's the austerity. What is the goal? Let's put it in another way. If we are supposed to undergo austerities, what is the goal? What is the result of performing this austerity, of following the four regular principles, or any other type of austerity that is sattvic, not the Hiranyakashipu type of austerity? And how can we just give a short definition? What's the result or the objective that we have by undergoing the austerity? And the volunteer. It's given by the Lord. Purification of what? Of the heart. Tapo divyam puttaka yena sattvam shudyet. Sattvam shudyet means to purify the heart. So that's the idea. Rishabdev, when he instructed his sons, he told them this is the idea. You should do that. Tapo divyam. In the first half of the verse, he tells them what not to do. Kashtan kana, to engage in this sense gratification. In other words, the four activities that are prohibited. If you engage in those kinds of activities, actually they are kashtan. Kashtan means also like krishnam, they are troublesome. Although in the beginning it seems they give pleasure, but at the end result is trouble. So he said, this is not a good idea. Nayam deho deha bhajam nilo. For a human being, if this is not, nasaru mani, in the later verse, he said that it's not very intelligent. Because if you do that, then what's the result? You're going to get another body. And then, although asan is temporary, klesha deha, klesha da, it gives trouble. So therefore, tapo divyam putraka, my dear sons, I recommend tapa, tapasya, but not the type of a tapasya that Hiranyakashipu went through. That type of tapasya contaminates the heart. Not all kinds of tapasya clean the heart. Hiranyakashipu's tapasya contaminates the heart. It makes you more desirous of controlling the material world, enjoying the material world. He wanted power, and he got the power. He became so powerful that the demigods were hiding. They were bowing down before him. He occupied Indra's palace, all due to his tapasya, his strong desire, and he did it. So that's not the idea. Divyam. Tapo divyam. Why? Because sattam shudyet. We want to purify the heart. And why do we want to purify the heart? Pramasaukhyam punantam. In that verse, that's the objective. Then you can come to the transcendental platform beyond the three modes of material nature and experience real pleasure. Brahma Sukha, not this Maya Sukhaya that Prahlad Maharaj describes, which everybody else tries to achieve. And therefore also people undergo so many austerities, as we have explained. Just sitting in a car is one type. There are so many different types of austerity. Practically speaking, any activity in the material world, with very few exceptions, at least on the surface, means trouble. It's difficult to perform, and at the end you get a little result, and therefore you are prepared to do it again and again. Like recently, a week ago, I was in Delhi trying to get a little singhasan for our Govardhan Shila. So the congregational devotee accompanied me in Chandni Show to go to a shop where they sell silver. So suddenly we enter one of those side lanes, very narrow, and then went down into the belly of Delhi. The belly of Delhi. It means suddenly you enter a new world. I've never been in such a place. I mean, if you are alone, I wouldn't have dared to go there alone. I was in company, good company, so I could do that. And then you just in these small pathways, I mean, just two people hardly can pass each other, and there are shops on each side. And there are little cubicles. No air, no sun. It's just a little hole. And people sit in there all day long. That's austerity. Just to sell. I mean, and you're not the only one. There may be 100 shops all selling the same thing. So there you are, waiting for the lucky hour that somebody will enter your place and not just look around and then say thank you and go out again, but actually buy something. So you're sitting there hours and hours every day, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, maybe your whole lifetime. That's your dharma. You accept this. I'm a silver wala in the belly of Delhi, sitting there for my whole life trying to sell a little bit of silver. And for what? At the end of the day, I can eat something and then be together with my wife, and that's it. And next day, do the same thing again. So this type of austerity is not sattvam shuddhi yet, for cleansing the heart. So tapo divyam, that is what devotees are, should aspire for actually, and should not see it as a botheration that we, some or other, we are obliged to perform austerities, although we really do not want to do that. We should understand that, well, we made a mistake. We have a material body. And to transcend it, there's no other way, finally, than to accept voluntarily austerity. Because the material body, you'll get one after the other, as long as the heart is not purified. And the only way to really purify the heart is by tapo divyam, as Vishakriya points out. And as we said, even chanting the holy name, as Prabhupada says, this is the same result can be achieved, yes. But even that chanting, you can't just only chant without also following these very basic austerities. Those who, let's say, do not follow the four regulative principles, they eat meat, they take intoxication, they have illicit sex, and they gamble even, but still chant the holy name. What is their position? Will they achieve the result of chanting the holy name? Very difficult. It may take many, 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 many lifetimes. But if they continue, then the answer is no. The hope is that some time they will contact a pure devotee who will inspire them to give up. these four activities. So they will have to come to a point of actually accepting voluntarily another austerity to cleanse the heart. Because chanting the holy name together with performing sinful activities will not give the result. As Chaitanya Charitamrita points out, you can't chant for kalpas for millions of years. And still there will be no symptoms of love of Godhead. So this is actually very serious. Because the tendency is to take one part, the chanting part, and the other part, we'll see. Yes, but, not so much. Or maybe part of it. I can give up meat eating, that's okay. Gambling also, I don't have money. Not so difficult. Intoxication, well, we'll think about that. And the last one, don't talk about it. So, no, we have to become convinced, at least we should have the understanding, the conviction that yes, these activities are unwanted. There's no, how do you say?
Wiggle
room, that's the word. There's no room to wiggle, to maybe accommodate a little bit of it, and still I'll get the result we are aspiring for. It's not possible. So yes, we should become convinced, and when we are convinced, then it's a question of how to, if we have a difficulty, how to come to the point. Otherwise, we'll remain unfortunate. The attraction for chanting will not really manifest. And if there is chanting, like the Sahaja chanting, it's a different kind of chanting. It's not really chanting the holy name. It's Namapara, it's not even Namavas. Because there's no, what is the characteristic of real Namavas? It's Shraddha. Shraddha Namavas. It's not the Abhas like even Mayavadi chanting. It's not considered real Namavas. Although they even apparently take pleasure in chanting. Well, as Prabhupada explains in Nectar of Devotion, sometimes they even may cry and show other symptoms of ecstasy. But they're actually Mayavadis. They're not crying and they're not in ecstasy because they're thinking of Krishna. Because they're thinking of moksha. That can produce tears of joy. But it's not the real result. So these things have to go together. Tapasya, but not the Kritshram type, not the Kritshrena, the severe tapasya, which is not possible in Kali Yuga. Because the Mayavadis, yes, they may do this, Aryuna, Aruya, Krishena, Paramparam, Tata, they go to the Paramparam, but then Patantyaro, they fall down. And why? Na Adrita Yushma Angraya, because they have not surrendered to Krishna. That is the real tapasya. Or we can take it to another point, saying, what is the real tapasya for us in Kali Yuga? I'll give you the idea and see whether you agree or not. The real tapasya is to give up our independent spirit. This idea of I do it my way. Not to follow the footsteps, satobrite, of the acharyas. I have my own way to do it. I dress my own way. I chant my own way. I worship my own way. I do so many things my own way. And it's Krishna, so what's your problem? Why do I have it this way? I can also do it that way. This disease has a lot of consequences, unwanted consequences. So I would suggest if we have that problem, why start there. If we have a problem with our independent spirit, we should understand the first, the real Swarup Lakshana of a devotee is surrender to Krishna. To be surrendered. And how do you surrender? You surrender to the devotee, specifically the spiritual master. And in our case, the instructions given by Srila Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of ISKCON. So his way, his instructions, his ways of doing things, that's to follow that, that is tapasya. And we see that it's so difficult that many so-called, I would say so-called followers or devotees, they have a hard time to do that. To follow, just to follow. It's actually not difficult, just follow. And because it's very difficult, why do I have to follow? My way. This idea is so strong. There's this famous song, I did it my way. And if you can see behind that, there's this pride. Just see, I did it my way and see the result. Here I am. World famous. I have all my desires are fulfilled. You want to come to that position? Do it your way. If you're lucky, doing it your way, you'll become a success. So for a devotee, that's the formula for get that goes against success. That's the formula for failure. Do it your way. I do it my way. So that tapasya, maybe we should begin there. To just follow strictly the instructions given by the acharyas, and then everything else will come. That's the first tapasya. So I'll stop here with some time for comments by the assembled sages. Thank you very much for your attention. Hare Krishna. Mobile. Maybe there are also some opposition forces that welcome to comment. Is it on? Is it on?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for your class, Prabhu. I'm very nice. I have a feeling though that tapasya is something relative to individuals. What may be tapasya for one person, you coming from Europe and walking into some underground arcade in Delhi, you think of it as being tapasya. But for an average Delhi-lite, you know, it's just part of daily life, not tapasya. And what they think rather tapasya is maybe what you're doing. You know, chanting Hare Krishna, dancing, they think, oh, tapasya.
Yeah, you can get used to anything. therefore, Rishabh Dekhi describes this kashtan kama, arhati, vidbhujami. Because they're also, well, the vidbhujam, we know, is the hawk. And his type of pleasure, if you look at the hog and you say, well, poor fellow, look at what you're eating. And he will look at you and say, what are you talking about? I have a feast in front of me, and you think I'm suffering? I'm enjoying. But Rishabh, this is kasha kama. You think you are enjoying, you're not accustomed to your living in a cubicle with no sunlight, with no real air, and you think, oh, it's okay, I'm happy. That's just illusion. It's just, it depends on what is the standard. Yes, it's different. One man's food is another man's poison. So the standard is, of course, for a devotee, what is pleasing to Krishna? And there's different grades of happiness. So what will elevate us to spiritual consciousness that we accept as favorable and everything else is unfavorable. But and even from a material point of view, as we said with the heart, yes, relatively speaking, everybody is happy in their situation. But in most cases, it's just illusion. Isn't it? I mean, the hawk will argue, like Indra argued with Brahma. Why are you asking me to go back? I have here my little, you know, nice top wife. Look at her, how beautiful she is. And all these little piglets, we just had another dozen. And they're wonderful, they all look like me. They will follow my footsteps. We already have another dozen look like her, so we are happy. I mean, this kind of happiness is kshatriya karma. It's karma, there's pleasure, but it's kshatriya. It's trouble, actually it's this typical mixture in the material world that yes, like Krishna says, it's nectar, and then it turns into something else. There's always this other taste, this aftertaste. In the beginning it's sweet, so many things are like that. In the beginning it's sweet, and then suddenly the whole thing turns around, and the sweetness goes. And it's not even just bitter, it becomes a very distasteful taste. So, well, tapasya, as you said, it may be relative to depending on the person. But for us devotees, I mean, we should, I think we should accept that these basic tapasyas are for everyone who really wants to advance in spiritual life. And especially who wants to become initiated. That's why Prabhupada gave these basic standards. To follow these four rules and chant 16 rounds minimum, that's tapasya. But it's like, it's a requirement. You want to become initiated? Well, this is the step. I'll think about it. Isn't it? And that's for everyone. No exception. It's like treatment. Somebody wants to become cured of a disease. Well, there's a treatment for it. And the doctor will give the same treatment to everybody who has that type of disease. You get a certain medicine, and it will not taste sweet, it will taste bitter. And then there's certain exercises, and there's certain things that you should do, and certain things that you should not do, because if you do them, it will aggravate the disease. And that is the case with everybody. If you have, what is it, diabetes, you're not supposed to eat sugar, is it? It's not that, well, some, yes, and maybe so many, no. They can eat, no problem. No, no. Everybody who has that type of disease, he cannot do this or this or that. Otherwise, the disease will become worse. So that's a universal principle. So tapasya, this basic tapasya, foregoing sinful activities in order to be engaged properly in devotional service, that's universal. Therefore, Krishna says, yesham prantakatam papa. So those who have finished this papa life and jananam punyakaranam, they have begun to engage in punya, in pious activities, then dvandva moha vinyamukta, they become free from the duality and bhajantima vridavrata, they can engage with determination. If you don't do that, then there's no determination. Bhogaishwarya prasaktana. If you're addicted to sense gratification, then what do you expect? How can you become determined in spiritual life? It's not possible. There's no case of somebody, oh yes, he's enjoying the senses like anything, at the same time he's completely determined in spiritual life. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. It's science, therefore we say it's scientific. You can create it like a laboratory test. Every time you do the test, the same result. So every time you do the same test, the same result. What is it about certain kinds of austerities that make the heart grow hard? Rupa Goswami says that some austerity may be necessary but excessive. So what is excessive and what is it about austerity that makes the heart grow hard? Therefore, Shakya says tapo divyam. It's a spiritual kind of austerity. And I would say I think, though it's not very, that if you have a doubt, we should consult higher authority. Because, as Maharaj said, and that's true, that tapasya may vary according to time and circumstances. Like even Prabhupada, he adjusted certain tapasyas for us. There are some basic ones that are there, but maybe in other ways, we are not required to do so many things that, for example, people in India would do. I mean, he points that out, or that Adaskrat and Hari Bhakti Vilas, certain activities. So that may vary certain kinds of tapasya. So if we don't know exactly what to do, we should consult Shastra, Guru and Vaishnava to find out. Generally, common sense will help. Whenever we see something is stable, we are remembering Krishna and we are not forgetting him. That kind of tapasya seems to be okay. If we start to have problems, or even if the body is affected, like sometimes devotees do it their way, they invent their own type of tapasya. So, like I remember one case in the early days in Germany, one devotee, he started to not eat. He heard that eating was not really required. The six Goswamis, they stopped practically eating. They only take a handful of buttermilk, and they hardly didn't sleep. So then we may speculate, oh, let me try to do that. I'll just stop eating. So he actually did. He didn't eat for many days in a row. And then when Sunday came, then, you can imagine. I mean, already at that time, it's 40 years ago, our plate was like this. 50% halava, 30% sweet rice, 20% gulab jamun, and some rice and sabji. But his plate was three times. He had to make up for the whole week of tapasya. And then, of course, he became sick. So this kind of tapasya is speculative, and it's not pleasing, and it's not favorable. It doesn't help you to become Krishna conscious to fast for 1 week, and then at the end of the week you eat huge amounts of prasada, even if it's prasada, that makes you sick. So this is, I mean, it's actually common sense, but some, as we say in Spanish, the common sense is the least common of the senses. Sentido común, el menos común de los sentidos. The common sense is the least common of all the senses. Anyway, you can adopt that, incorporate it into the English language. You can learn something from the Spanish. Although they're in crisis. Yes, please.
I'd like to ask a question from the point of view of Bhakti Joe.
Oh, Bhakti Joe.
So I'm hearing your
Bhakti Mary also. Okay.
I'm hearing your class and I'm asking
and you're
question.
Becoming depressed.
I'm having a doubt.
Oh.
So I'm asking a question. And the question is, Prabhuji, I have been chanting for the last 6 months and practicing the four regulative principles as sincerely as I can. In the association of the devotees, and now I hear you saying that in this age chanting Hare Krishna is the same as in the time of Guru Maharaj, whatever meditation he was doing. So I still haven't had darshan of Krishna after 6 months. I'm starting to wonder whether I should join this movement or not. And I see around me people that after 6 years, still they haven't had darshan of Krishna. So how can you say that in this age, chanting Hare Krishna will bear the same result as before?
Well, first of all, I'm not saying that. Prabhupada says here, he says, in this Kali Yuga, one can attain the same result simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Now, of course, if we have been 6 months around, and we have been listening attentively to classes and the senior devotees, we may also have heard that there are 10 offenses to be avoided. So we may chant Hare Krishna for 6 months or 6 years or 60 years or 6,000 years. If we are still committing offenses, then we will not see Krishna face to face. And if we become free from offenses, then it is quite possible, but it always depends on Krishna. It's not, the chanting is not just a tool. It's not even a process that we use in order to attain Krishna or go there and capture him. It's a prayer. It depends how you chant. And if you listen to Prabhupada's first very famous explanation about the chanting of holy name, what does he say? We should chant like a baby crying for the mother. So there has to be more than just chanting. Most of it, actually everything, depends on the attitude. The right attitude, a prayerful mood, invoking the mercy of the Lord, practically, yes, crying for the Lord. And it actually depends on Him. If you like, please manifest. If you don't, well, still I continue to chant. This is the way. But at any rate, the first point is there are 10 offenses. So these have to be avoided. And it's not so easy. Some are easy. I've been giving seminars about the Harinam Chintamani. And if you look at the 10, you can already, there's about 5 you can take out easily. You know, thinking the demigods are on the same level. Karma Kanda, we don't think like that necessarily. We don't blaspheme the Vedic literature necessarily. And there's others that are more or less easy. But then there's a few that are quite difficult. And the first one, nowadays, in this age, is the most difficult. Not to somehow or other blaspheme or criticize Vaishnavas. In the age of the internet, it's the daily affair. Very easy to do, and not impossible actually to take back. If it's just a verbal, like before it was like that, there was a verbal insult. It disappeared, maybe just that person heard it, or maybe somebody else heard it, nobody else heard it. You really apologize, you're back for forgiveness, finished. Now you criticize, you do it sending an email or writing some article. There it is. No way to take that back. Impossible. It stays there. Not only it stays there, it multiplies and propagates itself everywhere. So just by one time hitting that button, send, you are incurring who knows how many times the same offense again and again and again and again, and you can't take it back. That's very serious. So then you chant Hare Krishna. How do you expect you're going to become ecstatic? Not possible. You can't go on chanting for hundreds of years. No tears, no change of heart, no Sattvam Shuddhyet. There's no purification of heart, even by chanting the holy name. Unfortunate. Dur Daivam. Unfortunate. Very serious. It's a curse. In one sense, internet is a device of Kali and it is cursing devotees. It has a potential for preaching, but the other side, the dark side, it's frightening. What to do? 5 minutes.
Can you explain, Prabhupada mentions about independently thoughtful.
Yeah?
Independently thoughtful.
Independently thoughtful.
Can you explain the connection with being independent?
I hope somebody would bring this up. That we, yes. I mean, I said the tapasya is to give up this independent spirit. Of course, what we mean is the false independence, not that one can think for oneself, that we should not give up. But it's all within the limits of the Acharya's instructions. Like, I remember in the military, one way is you just get an order and you perform the order. And when you finish your order, you stop waiting for the next order. And unless you get an order, you don't do anything. It's like the less intelligent soldier. Now the next higher stage is you get the order of an objective to attain an objective, and then it's up to you to figure out how to get there. So you have room of independent thinking within that order to get to the objective. So in devotional service is actually similar. You get the order to preach, like Prabhupada got the order to preach in the West, in English. Now how you do that? You in fact figure it out. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur didn't get him specifically, now you take this boat and then you go to New York and then you sit. No. West is a big thing. But could have gone anywhere. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciple went to London. And maybe Prabhupada would have thought of going to London, but he thought, well, then I already went to London and there wasn't that much success. So let me go to New York. It's the most important city in the world. And he was right. And the hippie movement in America, just that Krishna gave him the intelligence to do that, all the arrangements, 65, 66, 67, the high time of still the illusion of this flower power and peace and everything that was smashed in 69 on the Rolling Stone concert, anyway. That's for those of us, the old guys, who know that. The young ones don't know, even know what I'm talking about. But, that Prabhupada, he had the objective, he had the goal set, but then how to get there? Independent thinking and making the adjustments necessary. Once you get there to New York, you see what's the situation with all these people. Now how am I going to get them into devotional service? So he had to make certain adjustments, but there was also always a minimum of standard that he didn't went down. I mean, in the very, very beginning, practically everything was possible. He walked in on LSD with long hair and chanted, and nobody threw you out of the temple. If you do that nowadays, depends. Somebody may escort you to the door. Maybe you come back tomorrow, get yourself. So, is that okay? I mean, we have our objective, we have the instructions of the acharyas, and within that framework, we can use our creativity. So this is 9 o'clock sharp. Hare Krishna. Okay, we chant all together and then you're blessed. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Guys, the Prabhupada Ki Jai.